Before we begin the initiation, suggestion that we have to explain why we want to receive this initiation. If you look at the Buddhist way of practicing or the tradition, or if you notice it, I'm sure most of you have received many initiations and teachings from many gurus. And if you notice one thing, that all the Buddhist, especially the Tibetan Vajrayana masters, they love to explain or talk about suffering, which is very important, because most of the teachings are for the, how do you say, preliminary teachings or the beginning of the teaching. That is the most difficult part of the journey that we must take towards the enlightenment. The beginning part is the most challenging, most difficult, where we have to practice the most. Because once you are on the path of this teacher, I'm not just saying just because you are doing a certain kind of practice, that means you are already in the one. What I'm trying to say, you are physically, or you may think that you are in on the way to Buddhist tradition or practicing, but if you think carefully how your mind is, how your mind works, that is where I think is that you will find that we are still in a very early stage, or in a very beginning part of our practice. I think I normally like to say that if you want to be enlightened, basically enlightenment means the moment you understand oneself or yourself, that is the moment you are enlightened. If you put it in a simple way, worldly terms, the moment you understand yourself, let me repeat, the moment you understand yourself, that is basically being enlightened. You may think, oh, I want to understand, many people studying about different animals, different societies, different like Asians, or Europeans, Americans, they want to study, but once you understand yourself, then you understand everybody else. If you don't understand yourself, it's very difficult to understand other people. Because once you understand yourself, it's like a key. It's like a key to the universal law. Once you have the key or the control over your mind, or the understanding of how your mind works, and then that is the method that you can unlock all the your understanding. Basically, if you understand everything, and that is the moment you realize that there is no suffering, there is no happiness, there is no samsara. That is kind of very interesting for me, and as a practitioner myself, my advice or the opinion is that if you want to practice Buddhism, then one should try to understand yourself, how your mind is working, why you are happy, why you are suffering, why you feel anger, why you feel desire. All of these I normally find, I like to trust it again and again, but also to understand myself, that we normally think that we understand, let's say we don't understand everything, but certain things we assume that we understand. For example, I know my family, I would say. Or you would say, I know this person or that person. And then you would say, how do you know? Then it's all because he likes apples, he likes to wear certain clothes, he likes to drink certain things, he likes to do certain things. But that's like the, maybe if you say put in the numbers, maybe that's like 5% of what the other person's thinking or doing. By that, looking at 5%, you are assuming that this person, you know everything. Now, that is other people. Now, we have come closer to our own tradition or our own family members. You may say, oh, I know totally everything about my father, or I know everything about my mother, or I know everything about my children. Now, that is very interesting for me because I may think that I know what my child is thinking or what my parents are thinking. But that's also, again, you only know certain things. Okay, my child likes chocolate, my father likes bread or something like that. So that's, we are assuming. And if you look carefully, if you try to understand, everything we know in our life, we think we know in our life, we are assuming everything. So that is very important. This such very simple, very easy, small word, but this kind of, for me, it's a very, very big challenge. Because once you, that is, okay, we are talking about other people, we talk about our family. Now the final question comes to, do we know who we are ourselves? Do we know things about ourselves? And when you think like, for me, my own personal experience, the moment I thought about myself, I literally had goosebumps on my bodies. And literally I was shocked for a while, thinking that I don't know anything about myself also. I'm also assuming things about myself. Or I like football, or I like swimming or sports, or I like a certain kind of food, I like certain places. But these are vague things. This is kind of very interesting for me. Because when you think in this kind of a way, then you will see that although we all want happiness, none of us want suffering, and we all want happiness. Now the question comes is, what is happiness? Now this is also very interesting. When I realized that, I was quite, shocked, and I was quite, because everybody, I'm 43 years old, ever since I know, started to think, we all assume that we want happiness. This is basically, that's what we want for everybody. But then, if you carefully think and ask yourself, what is happiness? What gives me happiness? For example, there was recently, a month ago, there was a football World Cup match was going on. We are so excited. This team is winning. This team is losing. We are getting angry. We are getting happy. People are crying. And people are doing all kinds of things. Now, we are not thinking at all. That's why we are feeling all this different kind of, if you think rationally, basically 22 grown-up person, not children, 22 grown-up people running around a ball, and everybody around is screaming and yelling and being, getting angry and getting happy, they are crying. So if you think like that, kind of why are we getting so excited? Why are you getting, because once the team, the losing team is so sad, they are crying. The winning team is also crying because they are so happy, they can't believe. But then, how does it help? How does it help you as a person, whether the team, team is winning or losing? The team doesn't even know that you exist. So it's kind of if you think like that, that kind of feels funny. That, why are we getting so excited, very happy, you know? So this is kind of a simple things that I normally like to test myself. These are the things, these are the questions that normally I ask myself. I'm just trying to share my experiences. I'm not telling them you should do that. I'm not saying you should not follow your team. You should not be happy when your team wins or support your team. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that if you think carefully. Because when you think carefully, then there is no suffering. You know? Suffering and happiness
conditions,
right? On certain things is conditions. You are happy because of certain things are together, or you are happy. Certain things are not together, and then you just say, I'm not happy. So happiness and let's say if you like apples, if you eat apple, and if the cause of your happiness is eating that apple, then whenever you eat the apple, you should be happy. But it's not like that. Only when certain things or certain conditions match, then you feel happy. You kind of vaguely feel certain emotions, and then you brand that emotions. Oh, this is happy. This is not happy. And these are kind of for me, these are very interesting. The most interesting thing in this universe is oneself. And that is where, and I also feel this is the easiest way to practice, and also the most interesting. Because you can assume about other people, you can hear thinking about what other people may do or may not do, or it's so difficult to, what little control you have in this world is at least about yourself. That is the kind of the closest thing you can test is yourself. But then again, no matter how much I say I know myself, can any of you say that after 1 hour I will be thinking like this at that very moment, like exactly, or let's say 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock, my mind is going to be like that? Nobody can say that. That means we have no control whatsoever about our own mind. So these are important things. And basically, beginning I was telling you that the Buddhist masters, they love to talk about suffering, and samsara. It's because we want to get rid of our attachments. To get rid of your attachment, the best antidote for your attachment is selfless, of course, and also to help you is the compassion. Compassion makes everything much easier for you to be less attachment. Because attachment makes everything more complicated. Even when you everybody in this world who are born are going to die. We all know we will die. I will die. But when I say that, I don't feel anything. I don't have the fear in me that I'm going to die or something like that. But if I have some kind of disease, if I know certain danger is close to me, then you will feel very, very scared of death. This is also very important, especially for our practitioners, because the end of your life. Because there is an end, that kind of death gives you the encouragement to get. Why are we afraid of death? Because we don't know what is going to happen after that. We don't know what's after I take the last breath, then what is going to happen to my mind or my spirit or my soul. Body, you know, in one way or another you'll be disposed, but your mind, we don't know. So that's why we are afraid. We are so afraid of dying. If you know everything, how exactly how your mind is going to do, or what your, like where your soul is going to land up, or anything like that, then you will, one would not feel scared or anything like that. So I always say that we Buddhists have the luxury of suffering. Suffering is very important for our Buddhist tradition, because there is suffering, that's the reason we want to practice. If there is no suffering, if there is no death, then there is no encouraging for you to practice. So these are general things I just wanted to share. So we are short of time. So this is something that just I want you to think about, because it's very important to understand why you want to practice. You may be, oh, I'm doing Vajrapani sadhana, I'm doing Manjushri sadhana, I'm doing all kinds of you are doing all kinds of, you may think, oh, I'm doing, but you have to also understand why you want to do this. Right? Why? That is the most important question for a practitioner. If you do not ask yourself this question, then the point of your practice is kind of like, you don't know where, what kind of, or why you're doing this practice. Once you know exactly why you want to do this practice, then your practice has more depth, more, strength, more powerful. So, again, this is nothing, I'm not really connected to this, but I just want to share. Just the other day, I was thinking that we have all kinds of deities. Peaceful deities, we have wrathful deities. And I always find it kind of very interesting that because of the movies and the stories that we hear, we also link that to our own Buddhist practice, because for example, we have Mahakalas, we have a peaceful like Manjushri, Avalokitesvara. These are normal. But then you think about Mahakala, you think of Vajrapani, all these are very scary. We have to be practice more carefully. Because of their look, Mahakala and Vajrapani and all this, we project them to be the more powerful, more scary. So this is very wrong. Again, this is just an image. Vajrapani and Mahakala, they are all bodhisattvas. They are all Buddhas. They are all bodhisattvas. They can't be scary from any direction or from any point of view. So, we have to practice when we practice when you are deity in any kind of wrathful thing, then you have to think of them as a bodhisattva, as a Buddha himself. Buddha, there's no difference whatsoever whether they're wrathful or peaceful. But because in our normal life we see some certain people as bad people, dangerous people, gangsters and all kinds of things. So we we take the same image and put it in our own, on our deities, which I find that we must understand that. We cannot say it's the same villain and bad people, or even good people with more dangerous with weapons. You can't say the same thing about our deities. I thought it was interesting and also very important to realize. This way we have completed the initiation. So now you can actually recite the seven land Guru Pama Samava prayer and the mantra also. The oral transmission. Seven land prayer. This way I also did the seven line Guru Pama Samava prayer oral transmission also. So now we can do the recitation and also do the mantra. As I said at the beginning, whichever deity you practice, there is no different. It's only your personal feeling or the karmic link which you have to your deity that is more important, rather than whether you are practicing wrathful or peaceful or any kind of, for example, whether you are practicing any one of the traditions of Tibetan. So we have Sakya and Maka Yugyal, we have multiple declaration. Even within the Sakya, within the Nyingma, within the, they all, whichever practice you are doing, there is no difference whatsoever. The important thing is what you feel connected, how you understand, because even though Buddha comes himself to teach you, if you don't understand, then there is no, benefit. So, try to understand things around you, what you are doing. That is the most interesting for me. So I'm just telling you again that try to think how your mind is behaving. When your mind is happy, you must try to understand why I'm feeling is happy or what is happy. Because generally, when you try to understand the happiness, then you will not see a final happiness. Just like that, then you will not find suffering. The simple method is, if any questions you have, if you ask them, you ask them, think carefully about your question, you will find the answers in your question. So this is a and also the three advice that normally I try to give to live a more meaningful life, to live a more calm life. Instead of happy life, I would rather say more calm life, more relaxed life, because that is, I believe, is more important than, because happy not stable, because it's very depends on your many cause and condition. First thing is that to have a balance in your life. Whether you are doing exercise, too much exercise is not good, too less exercise is not good, too much medicine is not good, too less medicine is not good, too much love also is not good, too less love is also not good, too much meditation is also not good, because you have to understand your own body, your bones, your knees, your physical needs, you know, these are the things, it's important to have a balance. Because I cannot tell you 1 minute or 5 minute or 1 hour meditation is the perfect, because everybody is a little bit, according to your mind, you are different. Actually, we are not so different, but we have perception of being so different. So Europeans are so different, Asians are so different, Americans are so different, Australians are so different, Africans are so different. It's just outer skin color that is maybe because of the sun is a little bit different. Other than that, there's no difference whatsoever. Even the food, whether you have Indian curries, or the American burgers, or the Italian pastas, or the French croissants, or anything like that. We may think that we are so different, our food tastes so different, but we always forget the point of eating food. Why we eat food is to give energy or strength to yourself. The taste is actually not that. The taste where it comes from. Basically, almost every dish you put in whichever country or whichever, you put salt. To have a taste, you have to put salt. You may put sea salt, you may put pink salt, you may put iodized salt or whatever salt you're putting. But the point is, you need salt. Or similar to like that, we all use barley or rice. These like four or five ingredients which the entire world is going, saying that we are different and we are different, but actually these four or five ingredients, everybody uses. So if you think like that, then you are thinking beyond your community. Easier for you, because then when you see everybody's same, we are all same, then it's easier for you to connect with other people. But otherwise, especially in today's day and age, we are different, we are better. There is no such thing as good or better. Or it also depends. Every country has good people, so-called good people, and so-called bad people. Or every country has rich people, poor people. Not just every country, every society has rich people, poor people, good people, bad people, handsome people. Now, if you go even smaller, not even your society, now even only the street that you live in, or the building that you are living in, if you are living in an apartment or something, even that will have the most richest person in this building, the poorest person in this building, most handsome person in this building, most poor, the ugliest person in this building. This is all dependent on who is asking the question, how you are looking at. These are simple questions, but this will help you to make you calm, because we are all trying to be somebody that we are not. We are trying to be, we all say we are trying to be better person. But what is better person? You know, according to who you want to be better person. Who set that level that if you do these certain things, then you are better? If you don't do certain, because I have met many, many, many people. I have met many, many people who has thousands of people working for them. And I always find them, generally rich is considered good and happy people. Poor is not. But I have literally seen with my own eyes and experienced myself that not always, rich people are always, I always find them worrying about their company, worrying about their work, worrying about other people, worrying about their future. I rarely see them, so-called happy, and even in a general worldly terms. I have met few, so poor, they don't have enough food for next day, but I have seen them happy, laughing, and more relaxed. So this concept of rich and poor and all this is just, boundaries and blocks that we have put in our mind, which has, now you have to grow beyond that. You have to think beyond society, the rules that we have in our, I'm not saying break all the rules, please don't do that. Please follow the rules. Please don't do anything illegal. What I'm trying to say is think what is, because to meet that standard in your society, we are working 24/7. We are all trying to meet that, or we have to you get certain house, certain car, certain certain clothing. So in order to reach that goal, our whole life we spent our whole life trying to get to that standard. So it's such a pity that to be relaxed, to be more comfortable, you just have to realize what you are. Accept. First thing is to have a good balance in your life, or good balance for yourself. And the second one is acceptance. You accept who you are. I'm Asian. I'm 43 years old. I am, I am Tibetan, for example. Just like that, whatever skin color you have, hair color you have, whatever physical body condition you have, you just have to accept who you are. Then you will be more satisfied. Then your anxiety is less. If I want to have good body, six packs on my stomach, big muscles, and then I'll be trying to get that for the rest of my life, but I will never reach my goal. Again, I'm not saying do not do diet. I'm not saying do not do exercise. I'm not saying don't go to your gym. But I'm just saying you have to understand. Right? You have to understand. Of course, do your work. You go to school, do your work, go to the gym. But also keeping in mind that you are what you are. If you are always trying to be two steps ahead of yourself, then that two step is always on two step ahead of you. So you will be never be relaxed. You will be never be satisfied. So to be more happy, to be more relaxed, acceptance is very important. Balance and acceptance. I think these are the two more as of now. I am also trying to understand myself. Or again, whatever I am telling you, through my experience, through whatever understanding I have from the Buddha's teaching and our masters and our gurus' teaching. Whatever understanding I have, then I am trying to pass it on to you. I'm trying to make it easier for you. I'm not saying what I have understood is the right way. I'm not saying that whatever I understood is the best way. You must, for all of you who must follow this path. I'm not saying that. I'm merely sharing my experience, that what I have experienced, I'm sharing that with you. That if you find that it is appropriate, or that you could try something, then please go ahead. Other than that, you can just think about that. And of course, Buddhism, think. We are not thinking. We are not using our mind at all. What is awakening? Enlightenment is that you have to use our brain. We are only already enlightened inside us. We already have the Buddha's nature in our every sentient, not just the humans, the animals, the gods, even the hell beings. Every sentient being has the Buddha nature. That means every sentient being already inside is enlightened. I don't know how many of you play video games. When I was younger, I used to play video games. And the game is already installed in your video game. But as you play, as you achieve the goals in the video game, you unlock the next level. Just like that, inside ourselves, we are already Buddha. But you have to understand, now you have to realize what you are. You have to realize how what the power you have, what you have to understand. And once you have that, then in a worldly terms, most easiest way of explaining Buddhahood, that is Buddhahood. Otherwise, it is not possible to be attain Buddha in a one lifetime. I mean, not even one lifetime. There are many in history that people, while doing their practice, while talking to their masters, they have already, attained enlightenment. Because that basically, we all know your step. We all know where we are in according to the teaching, and then to attain enlightenment, to be a Buddha myself, to be enlightened myself, we all know the path, which path to take, how to get rid of all your defilements, to get more merits, to be enlightened, then we all know. Then why are we not Buddha? What's wrong with us that we are not realizing we are Buddha? It's just the thing stopping you from attaining enlightenment is oneself. This is where this question is coming. Because although we know the path, now we have to believe.
Conviction.
We have to have this conviction without any room for doubt. Without any room for doubt. Because right now, although we say, "Oh, I want to be a Chan Buddha," or "I want to be," at the back of your mind, we have so many questions, so many doubts, so many questions arising. Is when you get rid of all of these questions, all of these doubts in your mind, with a conviction, 100%, zero doubt, zero question, then that is the, and in order to achieve that, then you have all these different practices you can do. So that is basically the goal. And in order to achieve that, in order to get to your enlightenment, in order to close all these doors for the questions raised in your mind, you have to check all the doors. If you have so many doors in front of you, I will follow door number 3 and I will go to number 3. But in the back of your mind, what about door number 1? What about door number 4? What about door number 5? These questions will keep you attached and keep you questions. So in order to stop that, so you check, you have, before you go through any door, you check all the doors. Recently, I heard interview of an astronaut, you know, people who go to space to study. He said that astronauts don't pray and say, let's hope everything is fine in this rocket and then we will arrive on space. He said, we don't do that. We check every part of this rocket, the vehicle they're going. We check every inch, every part, then everything is fine, then they travel. So that means there is no question in their mind, because everything is perfect, 100%, then they go. You just don't say, I hope this today we have enough fuel, or today the computer is working on this part, this is okay, then okay, let's go. They don't do that. So just like that, we check everything in our life in order to have the 100% certainty without any questions. Then if you follow, that means, because Buddha, once you attain Buddha, then there is no coming back to be samsara, right? Back to samsara. So without, I think we are running short of time, without taking much time, I'm very happy that I could pass on this teachings to you. This is teaching I have received from His Holiness the 41st Sakya Trichen Rinpoche, and he has received, this lineage is coming from Awang Tenpo from Tibet, and I'm very happy that I could pass this on to you. I hope you will practice. I hope you will have these questions. First, good they could have questions is good. But then when you have attained certain levels, then you don't need those questions. So I hope if you have any questions, raise any questions, this is a good sign. Most importantly, about yourself, about the feelings that you have. You know? Because we have been having these feelings, we have been going through this following the rules of society for so long that it's kind of we are so used to this. I'm just one simple small example I will give you. If we say that this, and when I'm pointing my finger, this is my eye and this is my nose, it will be very difficult for you, right? This is my nose, this is my eyes. Because for so long, ever since you were born, you've been told that this is your nose and this is your eyes. Now suddenly if I say, this is your nose and this is your eyes, you may say, which is saying, the master is saying, this is the eye and this is the nose. You may say, oh yes, yes, we agree. But in the back of my mind, it'll be very difficult for you, right? It will take time to get used to that, this is my eyes, this is my nose, this is my eye. Then you have to do this many, many thousands. Every day you have to, basically convince yourself. Then, just like that. The reason we are in samsara is because we are so used to these feelings. So we are following this. That's why we all fall to the same ditch, basically. We knew there's a ditch. We knew that there was a ditch for so long, but every generation, every sentient being fall to the same ditch, at the same place, at the same everything. Why is that? Because we are all following the same rule, we are all going through the same path. Or we think we are following the right path. So, to have these questions is important. If you want to be enlightened, this is very important. If you want to be enlightenment is basically in your mind. There's not physically, there is nothing to be enlightened. It's all mental. It's all in here. Right? So again, I'm pointing my head and saying this is my mind. I don't know what my mind is. I can't see again. I'm following the rules, so I'm saying this is my mind. I'm following my pointing at my head and saying this is my mind. So these are simple things, but really I think important questions that one must ask. Right? Thank you so much.